Hello again. Welcome to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Yes, it's the 1st of December. Yes, Carrie O'Loughlin is with us to talk pets with you. Carrie is from the Del Mar Animal Hospital. If you have a question about your dog, your cat, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. If you have a question for Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, and the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. It's pets, it's vets, it's you. It's next, right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Pets and vets today, and with us is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital. Dr. O'Loughlin is a graduate of Cornell University. She joined the Del Mar Animal Hospital staff in 1998. Always great to have her on the program. If you have a pet question, 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org is the email address. And again, I do the best I can to get through all the calls. I try to get through all the emails. I rarely succeed, but we'll do the best we can. If you have a chance to email, be as detailed as you can without going on page after page. Just include the age, sex of the critter, and describe the malady as best you can. Once again, the phone number, however, is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ray. How are you?
It's the holiday season, and you told me some disquieting information just now about heartworm and dogs.
Yeah, so New York State has never been a hot spot for heartworm. It's heartworm is basically found in pretty much every state in the union, especially after Hurricane Katrina, when they packed up all those dogs from Hurricane Katrina and sent heartworm everywhere.
Yeah.
But we have just recently had, it seems like a spike, at least at our practice. We had three dogs in the last couple of months that all were positive for heartworm. Now, they all did come from the South within the last year, so they most likely brought heartworm with them.
Were these purebreds that were...
Nope, just, you know, shelter dogs, rescue dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And the troubling thing is that these dogs were all tested down in the South, but it takes 6 months for heartworm to show up on a blood test. So if they got tested and they were harboring heartworm, if they had just been bitten, you know, 3 days before they were tested, you're not going to see it on that initial test. So
is that fatal or can you fix it?
It can be fatal, yep, if it's untreated. And even the treatment can be fatal, which is why heartworm is a disease that is far easier to prevent than it is to treat. So that's why we are really, really urging everyone to keep their dogs on heartworm prevention year-round. We don't get a lot of mosquitoes out in the outside
these
days.
Is that how you get them?
Yes, it's spread by mosquito bite. And but mosquitoes can actually live in your house for up to 3 months.
Mm.
So and someone described in a continuing ed meeting I went to, mosquitoes are heat-seeking missiles. So they go to the warmest body in the room. And that's going to be your dog or your cat because they're much warmer than we are.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin joins us. We'll get to the phones in a moment. Saw a thing in the news last, I think it was last week. Maybe it was earlier this week. Maybe it was today. I don't even remember now. They were checking deer in Vermont, and a fair percentage were COVID positive. Is this a thing we should worry about with cats and dogs?
Not really. They are saying that dogs and cats can test positive for COVID, that they've had some cats, big cats in zoos that actually have been clinically sick, but they have yet to be able to find any spread. They have recommended all along since COVID started, if you yourself as a human in the house has COVID, you should avoid close contact with your pets, just like you would have quarantined yourself from the rest of your family. Don't quarantine yourself with your dog or your cat. We personally have yet to see a positive animal.
And even if they're positive, except for these big cats in the zoos, really not a lot of symptoms,
correct?
Right?
Correct.
Carrie O'Loughlin joins us. Let's hit the phones before the first break. 800-348-2551 is the number. We start in Albany. Jennifer, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Doctor.
Hi.
I have 2 5-year-old indoor cats. They never go out. And they like to sleep on the radiator cover. And one of them is over-grooming. She licks her back paws, and she's licked her stomach bare. I've tried increasing the humidity in the room. I got skin and coat food. So their coats are really silky and in good condition. I've given her extra attention. But she must be licking it at night when we're asleep. And do you have any other ideas about what to do for over-grooming in cats?
Uh-huh.
Funny you should ask. I just went to a continuing ed meeting down in New York City the beginning of this month and went to a lecture on this. And
oh, good.
We actually were taught for years that, we were taught two things cause cats to over-groom, allergies and basically psychological issues.
Little neuroses.
And they always said, well, if there are no skin lesions, there's no red spots or scabs or anything like that, it's most likely psychological.
Mm-hmm.
Well, turns out they were wrong.
Aha.
They are now saying that 99% of these cats have allergies, and that's why they're over-grooming.
Hmm.
So allergies can be environmental, which means they're either reacting to things outside, which even if they're an indoor cat, pollens and things like that float in your house. And that's going to be more, problems during the warm weather. And then it can be indoor allergens. They can be allergic to dust mites and storage mites and mold and mildew and things in your house.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be more of a wintertime issue when the house is all closed up and the heat comes on.
Right.
A lot of these cats actually are potentially food allergic. And the only way you can determine that is to take them off of every cat food that they've ever had and put them on a brand new, what they call novel protein diet. So they've come out with some, there are prescription diets, there are some over-the-counter diets that are novel protein. The one concern with the over-the-counter diets is the food companies doing the over-the-counter diets don't always clean their machinery well enough so that you can get cross-contamination. They've done testing on a lot of these diets, and it says it has only duck in it, and they'll find beef and chicken,
uh-huh,
things like that. So the main allergens for both cats and dogs are beef and chicken, and egg are the primary ones. And unfortunately, as I found out with my own cat, I had a cat that had dietary issues. Trying to find a cat food that doesn't have any poultry in it is extremely hard.
Really?
So yeah. Even the fish-based diets, if you read the ingredient list, it'll have poultry byproducts in there somewhere.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
You really do have to go to specialty cat food stores, and there are several in the area that have a good amount of different foods, and ask for a limited ingredient diet. And if that doesn't work, you have to feed that for a good month to 2 months to really see a difference. If that doesn't work, then you might have to go to a prescription diet to really rule it out.
Jennifer.
Okay. They get Science Diet and Blue Buffalo, and the special skin and coat food I got is Blue Buffalo, and it's salmon with lots of omega-3 in it.
Right.
It might be the chicken.
Right, right. Those are excellent foods, but if they're allergic to the ingredient, it's still going to be a problem.
Jennifer, thanks a lot for the call. Now, you mentioned that it takes a month and a half. That's a long time for your cat or dog to be suffering.
Well, they're not really suffering with these cats. They're over-grooming. We call it fur-mowing. So if you look at their belly, it looks like they've been shaved.
Right.
Their skin isn't raw. They're not uncomfortable. They just look a little bald.
Yeah, there is no way, and I know you and I have talked about this over the years at times, but there is no way that you can take your cat to the allergist and say, do a test, do a blood test or something, and work it faster than a month and a half?
You can do that for environmental allergies.
But not food.
There is no blood test or skin test that is good for food. The only way you can do it is with a food trial.
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin joins us today. It's Pets and Vets on Vox Pop, and we are just beginning. 800-348-2551 is the number. Email address is voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be right back. Vox Pop, Pets and Vets, Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551, the telephone number. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin joins us. Couple of emails here, doctor, and then we'll go back to the phones. This one's from Steve. I have a beautiful 8.5-year-old Bernese Mountain Dog. He has a lipoma?
Lipoma.
Lipoma on his side. It's not affecting his range of motion. It's growing. At what point should we have it removed? And that's from Steve.
So lipomas are an accumulation of fat. It's basically a fatty lump.
Yeah.
They are almost always benign. Very, very, very common. Probably the most common lump we see in dogs. And there are two varieties of lipomas. The garden variety, I call it, where they get to a certain size, anywhere from the size of a peach pit up to, I don't know, a small orange.
Wow.
And that's as far as they get. And you know, the dogs live with them. They don't care about them. They don't hurt them, whatever. And then you get the other kind, which never stop growing. And I have literally taken them off of dogs the size of a soccer ball.
Wow.
So my rule of thumb is bigger than your fist and growing, I like to get it off.
Hmm. Okay.
So,
but they don't do any harm.
They don't do any harm. But I've literally had dogs like listing to one side. Or I had one dog that looked like a swayback horse because this poor thing was being weighed down by this 6-pound lipoma. So, yeah, if they get big like that and if they're in a bad spot, like an armpit or a leg pit, they can affect their ability to walk because they get so big. So.
Okay, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin joins us. One more email here, doctor, and then we'll go back to the phones. The number is 800-348-2551. This one's from Janet in Delmar. Subject heading, puppy breath, exclamation point. I have an 18-month-old lab who has the worst breath. I would expect it from older dogs who can have tooth decay, but not a puppy. She does have serious food allergies and is on a limited ingredient food, venison and sweet potato. Took months to find something that worked, so she lived on beef and rice for 6 months as we tried new things. Luckily, she's cute. Anything we can do or any cause for concern? And that is from Janet in Delmar.
Yeah, if it's not a tooth issue, which is the most common cause of bad breath in dogs, and 18 months, it's unlikely unless the dog has something stuck in its mouth. Every now and then we've seen that where the people come in saying the dog's breath is horrible and you find they've eaten a stick and it's gotten caught across the roof of their mouth.
Yeah.
So they might want to double check that.
Yep.
It can just be from the food. It can be the sort of burping and stomach, you know, smells coming up, especially if the dog has a food allergy. They tend to have more sensitive digestive systems. They could try adding a probiotic that may help. And then sometimes I'll put these dogs on a short course of some antacids just to sort of settle the stomach down and see if that makes a difference.
So as a longtime aficionado of antacids, let me ask you, are these the same as the people get or is it a doggy or kitty
much.
Kind?
Yeah, the dogs for longer term use, you know, more than a couple of days, I usually reach for Prilosec.
But not over the counter, like you would go to the...
Yeah, a lot of times you can just get over the counter. You just need to find out the correct dose from your doctor.
Interesting.
And, you know, the other thing I was going to say is I'll often, for these dogs with bad breath, I normally would say you might want to just try a different diet. Now, obviously, this dog, because it's had all the issues with the food, I probably would be less likely to say try a different diet, but...
We're joined today by Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. The number is 800-348-2551 on this edition of Pets at Vets. Susan is in Brattleboro. Susan, you're on.
Hi there. My question was about my cat who was recently diagnosed with early stages of kidney disease. And I was wondering, I'm going to change her diet, and I was wondering if the Hills or the Royal Canine is better. And also, What else can I do for her to prolong her life? And can I mix in some protein food once in a while with the prescription food? Thank you so much.
So, Susan, I don't. My ideas about feeding cats with kidney disease has been evolving over
really?
The years. I don't mind if they love the kidney diets and they will eat them really well. But sometimes the kidney diets are almost too protein restricted. And what ends up happening is they lose lean muscle and continue to lose weight despite eating well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, one of the companies just came out with a moderate protein kidney diet, and I'm sorry, but I'm totally blanking on which of the prescription diets it was, but because it's literally brand new, I just saw it like a week ago. But I tend to lean more towards getting the cat on an all canned diet and just making sure they're eating really well. I would really avoid adding any protein because that's the main issue with kidney disease is the kidneys have to get rid of the protein waste products, and we're trying to decrease the work on the kidneys. So I wouldn't add protein, but I think sometimes those kidney diets are a little too protein restricted. So and a lot of cats don't eat them well, and that's even worse if they're not eating well.
Susan.
Okay. Yeah, I had been giving them a high-quality, pretty expensive protein diet. They get only canned food. I took them off dry a long time ago. And so that I think it's a healthy food, but I was thinking of kind of combining that with one of these lower proteins because I've heard that cats are such carnivores and they just want, you know, their bodies just want the protein.
Yes, they're definitely they are obligate carnivores is what they're called.
Obligate,
unlike a human or a dog, which are omnivores. They need meat.
Well, I'm an obligate.
Mixing and matching would not be a bad idea. You know, getting some of the kidney diet and doing half and half, or you know. But the important thing is to keep the cat eating well.
Susan, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin joins us today. We go to Westfield. Kimberly, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an Australian Shepherd Border Collie mix who we got when he was like 3 years old. He had heartworm. He was treated for the heartworm. And every once in a while when he exercises, he has this weird, deep cough. He doesn't have heartworm anymore, but I'm wondering if there was lasting damage. And then also, like, sometimes he chugs all of his water. He doesn't drink it throughout the day. He just chugs it all and then coughs it up. So I was just curious if that could all be from damage from the heartworm.
It's possible. Did you have him when he was treated for the heartworm?
Yeah, we got him and found out he had heartworm like a month later. And so we treated him right away.
And during the treatment, did he have any issues with coughing or trouble breathing during treatment?
Yeah, that's how we found the heartworm, was because we noticed he had a weird cough.
Okay. Yeah. So if they have any lung issues during treatment, it can lead to some scarring in the lungs and some permanent damage. So that could potentially be the source of the cough. I don't think it has anything to do with him guzzling his water and then blurping it up. I think that's just him drinking too much water too fast. So if he's a water guzzler, I would just not let him have a huge bowl of water at any one time.
Yeah, you kind of it seemed like you may have seen that problem before.
Yeah, and I would, you know, unfortunately, if there's any scarring in the lungs at this point, it's just something he's going to have to live with. But it shouldn't get worse. So.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Kimberly. 800-348-2551, the number. Our guest is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. It's Pets and Vets today. Glenville is the place. Linda is the person. Hello, Linda.
Hello. I have a question for you. We have two dogs. One is a seven-year-old spayed female, delightful, and we have a six-month-old male pup. And he is, I think, probably naturally very interested in her nether regions. But our big question is, he is seems to love to eat poop.
Oh, boy.
And we don't know how to stop it. And we're thinking, like, if we put pepper seeds on it, seeds from jalapeno peppers, will that stop him? Will he remember, oh, no, I shouldn't eat that?
Yeah. So that is one possible treatment, yes. Poop eating in dogs is just a gross habit. They're not missing something in their diet. It's just they've discovered they like the taste of poop. So I recommend several things. One is, A, make it unavailable. So keep the yard,
right,
you know, cleaned
poop,
up
poop
as best
free.
You can.
Right.
Poop patrol as often as you can. Two, if you see him doing it, reprimand him just like you would reprimand him about anything else that he's doing wrong, and then give him something else to, you know, entice him with a treat or something, get him away from it. And then third is to do the sabotage routine, and that's
with the cayenne or whatever,
cayenne powder, hot pepper sauce.
Yeah.
But I usually recommend that people test it on the dog first, because some dogs like hot sauce. So whatever you're going to use, you want to take a little tiny bit of it, be it the little hot sauce or a pepper flake, and put it on the inside of their lip and see if they go yum 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 yum. That's not going to work. If they make a disgusted face and try to get their mouth away, you know, lips away from their mouth, then that's going to work.
I mean, the dog eats poop. It's not that discriminating, right?
Well, you want to find something they like less than the poop. And if they do that a few times, they will learn that eating poop is not so much fun.
All right, Linda, how's your life going?
Okay. That's fabulous. Running after that little pup. He's a pit bull. Pit bull mix, and he is so full of himself.
I bet.
So full of himself. He's fabulous.
Yeah, especially after lunch. Linda, thank you very much for that one. You know, dogs, I know they're not that smart, Dr. O'Loughlin, but there has to be a physiological reason why they do that. And I'm not going to belabor the point because it's nauseating. But
yeah.
But there's got to be a physiological reason, right?
I think it's just some dogs like the taste.
That is disgusting.
Well,
let's go to line 5. Crystal in Lake George. Crystal, you're on. Hello?
Hello?
You're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I just have a question about two cats. They both are going through the same thing. About a month and a half ago, they started getting like a respiratory problem, so I took them in thinking it was allergies. Put them on antibiotics, it cleared up, and now they have lost tons of weight. One is 13 and one is 14. We have a 28-pound cat, and he's down to 20 pounds. And then we had a 12-pound cat who's down to about 5 pounds. And they seem to just be getting worse. I've noticed that they have thrown up. The male had started going number 2 on the floor.
Oh, boy.
The females are going number 1 on the floor. So I don't know what is going on.
Yikes.
Yeah, that sounds like they need a return trip to the vet.
I'm actually on my way there now.
Good. There are a number of things that can make cats lose weight like that. I don't know that this is necessarily related to their cold, especially if that cleared right up. Unfortunately, I think it's just going to take some examination and probably some blood testing to get to the bottom of it. So.
Well, I was listening to what you were saying about the heartworm, and I was like, well, those symptoms kind of sounded like that, and maybe, you know, the antibiotics cleared up.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, cats can get heartworm, but they're not the right species for it. So they don't get the same type of heartworm that dogs get. They can get asthma type symptoms from heartworm. And unfortunately, the other option is they can suddenly die from heartworm.
Oh.
So it's either they get a little bit of a wheezing and a cough, or they die.
And that's it?
Yep.
If they get a wheezing and a cough, then they can live a happy life?
And then, yes, they can survive the heartworm dying in them with just causing it like an asthma attack type thing. If you have a cat that gets asthma like once in its life and never again, it might have had heartworm.
Interesting. But these cats are elderly.
That's exactly what it was.
She was perfectly healthy. Both of them perfectly healthy. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they both had this respiratory problem. And they started grooming each other around the same time, too, which they never do. And we have two younger cats who seem perfectly fine. But I noticed that the male who started going, you know, number two on the floor, and the female, I just noticed she's having like a massive diarrhea, and it's black.
So I don't know. That sounds like something not good in her intestines, for sure. So I hopefully your vet can get to the bottom of it. I wish you luck.
Crystal, thanks a lot for the call. It's Pets and Vets Today with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Kathy in Seward. Kathy, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I actually have sunshine here today. I can't believe it.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, my question is, we recently acquired another cat. There's four of them here now all together. And when we got this fellow, he was just about a year old, and he had not been neutered, and he started spraying all around the house. And my older male, who's about four, and his sister, who they kept hissing and, you know, kind of spitting at him and not accepting him. I have the other cat is a younger female. She seems to think he's fine. But now that he's grown and he's bigger, you know, the two males, we did have him neutered and the spraying stopped, but the two males are just, you know, they're at it, you know, chasing, you know, the younger one, you know, jumps at, you know, and challenges the older male. You know, I don't get that with the older female, but she does, you know, growl, you know, if he comes around her. But the two males, it's just getting ridiculous. I don't know what I can do about it. Have you any suggestions?
So they're just, basically, they're still not getting along, is what you're...
Right.
Okay. Well, it can be tough if it's been a year that he's been there.
No, we haven't had him that long.
Oh,
he's
all right.
Just a year old is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. So... My thing is that is cats go through three layers or levels of acceptance of a new cat. The I hate you stage, where it's all hissing and spitting and stay away from me. The tolerating stage, where they'll accept being in the same room, but they're not best buddies, all the way up to full acceptance, where they're totally fine with them.
Okay.
Some cats go through those pretty quickly and make friends pretty quickly. Some cats get stuck somewhere along the way, and they'll just live with tolerating their whole life. And occasionally you get cats that get stuck at the I hate you stage.
Yeah.
I unfortunately have that in my house. I have a 17-year-old cat and a 10-year-old cat who have been together for 10 years, and they hate each other.
Wow.
You know, the best you can do is try... you can try some things like feel away, the pheromones for cats that come in a spray. It also comes in a diffuser to try. That's just sort of happy scent to have around the cats. You can try if they like to play. If you can get them to play, sometimes getting a fishing pole toy that they're going to chase after and play with one while the other's watching, and then slowly bring them closer together.
Pheromones?
Feel away.
Yeah, it's feel away. F-E-L-I-W-A-Y.
F as in Frank?
F as in Frank. So like feline, like a cat. E-L-I-W-A-Y.
That might be nice.
I-W-A-Y.
Yep.
Okay.
The other thing is, I don't know if you've ever heard of Jackson Galaxy. He has a TV show on Animal Planet. And he's a cat whisperer. And he has a website, if you just Google Jackson Galaxy, and he has a whole bunch of videos about how to introduce cats that are quite good.
Huh.
So you could
check
out
his last name is Galaxy.
Galaxy, yep.
I'll be darned. I knew a Ford Galaxy once. Let's take a break.
All right. Well, I thank you for that.
Okay, good
luck. Thanks, Kathy. We're a little...
I hope they don't, like, continue much longer.
We're a little overdue for a break here, but good luck with the angered cats, and we'll take a break. 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin joins us. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org, and we will get to the email bag after this break and then more of your calls. Pets and Vets on WAMC. When we were getting with toward the end of Kathy's call just now, Dr. O'Loughlin, I wondered, when you're in vet school, do you have to take animal psychology courses?
Way back when I was in vet school, now over 20 years ago,
yeah.
It was an elective behavior. And I did take a behavior course, but it was, you know, one course and you can only learn so much. So, yes, I would say behavior is not stressed a lot, which my feeling is it should be more because we deal with a lot of behavior issues.
Yeah. So. All right. Fair enough. These emails are in the email bag. This one's from Heather. What prescription cat food are you talking about? I tried one. It was hydrolyzed protein pate. She would not eat it. I tried Merrick duck pate. She would not eat it. As you said, almost every canned food has mixed meat and broth, even though it says, for instance, turkey. Help. And that's from Heather.
So there are several prescription hydrolyzed diets. Purina has one, Royal Canin has one, Hills. They all have a hydrolyzed diet. Hydrolyzed is where they take the proteins and they chop them up into such tiny itty-bitty little pieces that your immune system doesn't recognize. So they can make it out of chicken, but they chop it up so tiny into the little amino acids that make up the chicken that it's not recognizable as chicken to their immune system.
Right.
The other ones, they do make prescription diets that are like duck or venison or kangaroo or, you know, whatever. And again, pretty much all of the prescription, you know, Blue Buffalo has one, Hills, Purina, Royal Canin, they all have their prescription line. So if you're having trouble finding something the cat will eat, you could try that. I don't know if I can name stores.
I don't know, I guess.
All right. Benson's Pet Center up on Wolf Road has the biggest selection of pet foods I've seen in the area. And when I was having trouble with my own cat who had GI issues from poultry, I went up there and said, just show me every canned food you have that doesn't have chicken in it. And I ended up taking a whole selection home and doing a taste test. And I found two all beef ones that my cat loved and did great on. So sometimes it's a matter of trying a lot of them.
This one's from Sue. Sue writes, we recently found a stray on our mountain. You got a mountain. Good for you. We recently found a stray on our mountain, very emaciated and distressed. We could not trace anyone who might have lost him. So we took him to the vet, got him checked out, got his shots, dewormed, etc. No health problems except some aging kidney signs. Needs to be on a special diet. A little arthritis. We can't keep him because we have too many cats, but the Humane Society wouldn't take him because he's old, 7 to 10, and has what they call kidney failure. So here he is at our house. He's driving us nuts, very food insecure, always in the cupboards and bins, very noisy, and with a tendency to jump directly onto our shoulders if we stop moving around. The other cats hate him, and we don't know what to do with him. He's pretty unadoptable. Any suggestions about calming him down or, B, getting him a home?
Oof.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a...
It's Cujo cat.
Yeah, it's not an easy one. You know, there are some rescue groups that will work with older cats. You could ask around.
If that cat's nearing 10 and can jump all the way up to your shoulders, that cat's doing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, to me, age is not a disease. I mean, and the fact that he's got some kidney disease, cats can live with some kidney disease for years.
Right.
So he could be a good cat for somebody for a long time. As far as calming him down, the one thing they might want to talk to their vet about, especially since he does have arthritis, there's a medication called gabapentin that we use for pain. It also settles cats. We'll use it for cats that don't like car rides or don't like coming to the vet or things like that to settle them down. So
do
that
any
might
cats
be
like to come to the vet?
We have some cats that are very happy to
really?
See us. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you for that email. I'll tell you what, there are several more emails, but David in Pittsfield's been waiting a while, so we'll go to that call, then we'll go back to the emails, then go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is our number. David in Pittsfield, go ahead.
Yeah, I have an English herd dog to take care of my sheep. And, you know, he herds them where they need to be. The other night, he took down a coyote.
Ooh.
And when I found him, he had his mouth wrapped around his throat and basically killed it. And I'm worried that, you know, do I need to worry about anything he might have gotten from taking it down?
Probably not, as long as your dog is well vaccinated. You know, coyotes are a canid, so they can carry things like distemper and parvo and those kinds of things. But if your dog is up to date on his distemper parvo vaccine, that would cover him. The only other thing is coyotes can be rabid. Again, if your dog is up to date on his rabies, he should be fine. However, anytime we have a dog or a cat that we believe may have been exposed to rabies, if it's been more than 3 to 6 months since their last rabies shot, even though they're good for 3 years, we will often recommend a booster just to be on the safe side.
How soon will the effects of rabies manifest in a dog?
It can take up to 6 months.
Wow.
Once they've been exposed.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if they're actively sick with rabies, it's a week
right.
to 10 days and they're dead. But if they've been exposed, it can take 6 months to show itself. So it wouldn't hurt to get a rabies booster if it hasn't
okay.
been recently boosted. But other than that, I can't think of anything that I'd be terribly concerned about. He did
okay.
his job
well, he was,
protecting the sheep. Good dog.
He did his job. Yeah, absolutely. He wasn't about to let go of it.
All right, well, David, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number, and the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. A couple of more emails here, Doctor. This one's from John in Colony. We just lost an 11-year-old miniature Australian Shepherd to diabetic shock. She was fine in the morning, and at noon she went out, just laid down, and then went and hid. We had to euthanize her 2 hours later. She had never had any issues before. We had her teeth cleaned a month earlier. Her blood was perfect. We had no idea she was diabetic. Can you explain this phenomenon?
That I would say that's very unusual.
Yeah.
Diabetes usually is a slow smoldering disease that people don't often realize the dogs have for weeks and weeks.
Right.
So to have the dog, especially if it had normal blood work just like a month before,
yeah.
That's very unusual. That's all I can say. I mean, I did just diagnose a cat with diabetes. That is my first really sick diabetic cat
yeah.
that I've diagnosed in a long time. So, I mean, usually diabetics come in and they're just drinking a lot of water and
yeah.
maybe losing weight. So it may be for some reason in their dog, it really hit it like a ton of bricks. But it's not usual. It's not
now,
usual
if you suspect your pet, your cat has diabetes, you know, with people, if you're diabetic, the first thing they'll say is, hey, drop a bunch of weight. If your cat goes on a diet and loses, say you got a fat cat,
right.
diabetes, if the cat loses a lot of weight, will those symptoms regress?
So cats, unlike dogs are type 1 diabetics. So when they
oh.
become a diabetic, they're like a person with juvenile diabetes.
Yeah.
So they're going to be insulin dependent for the rest of their life. Cats are more like people with type 2 diabetes, where they tend to get it because they're overweight
yeah.
and eating dry food, which is high in carbohydrates. So with a cat, you do have to give them something to bring their blood sugar down, either insulin, which is the usual thing, or sometimes cats will respond to oral anti-diabetic medications. But usually insulin, get them on a canned-only diet, they're usually losing weight with the disease anyway, but you get them to continue to lose the weight, and you can get them into diabetic remission.
Okay.
And it's called remission because I had one cat that was in diabetic remission doing great, and the owner gave them a few temptations.
Yep.
Bumped it right back into diabetes again. They're very carb sensitive.
All right. So. This one is from Sherry, a Vox Pop loving cat enthusiast in Poughkeepsie, New York. And Sherry writes, I recently took in a stray cat to live on my patio, as his home in my neighbor's yard is no longer permissible to my neighbor. Via a large cat house, an electric blanket controllable by an app on my phone, a large cushion for a bed, and a simple motion-activated webcam, I am housing him. By the way, that's nicer than my accommodations. My question relates to bringing in the food bowl. I wash the Pyrex bowl immediately upon bringing it inside. Is there a possibility of fleas or flea eggs living in the drain of the sink?
No.
All right.
I would say.
Very easy.
You know, one flea eggs, they can live in the house. I mean, flea eggs and flea larvae spend their time in the environment.
Yeah.
But a sink is not a real, that's not a place that the flea eggs are going to be happy. They're going to get washed away. They really like a drier, not wet environment. They like a little humidity, but not super wet.
So. All right. This one is from Moira. My healthy 3-year-old Boston Terrier throws up a lot, some days 3 to 5 times a day. Some days not at all. It seems to happen more when he's excited or in a new situation. Then it can be nonstop. He will also immediately regurgitate his water at times. He took Xylkine when we traveled for Thanksgiving, but it didn't seem to make a difference. He's been on the same food for the year and a half we've had him. Our vet says he's overweight, but we don't overfeed or do excessive treats. We're trying to scale back on the amount. The vomiting is challenging, especially if we're at someone else's house. Could it be a kind of acid reflux? And that's from Moira.
It could be an acid reflux. My concern with it being a Boston Terrier, those breeds of dogs are a little more prone to having something called pyloric stenosis, which means the exit to their stomach is narrow.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for food to get out of the stomach.
Aha.
So that can be diagnosed through some x-rays with barium to watch the food go through. Or potentially with an ultrasound.
Yeah.
They could just try smaller, more frequent meals, trying not to have too much food in that dog's stomach at any one time. And the same thing with the water. Again, don't let him guzzle a bunch of water.
All right. This one's from Corrine, and she's talking about cat food. Why don't they sell rabbit? My cats kill and eat them often. That's from Corrine.
They do sell rabbit food.
Do they?
Yep. That's one, and it's interesting because that is one of the diets that's considered to be, quote, limited ingredient.
Yeah.
Which is great, unless, oops.
That's
I'm so
all right.
Sorry. I left
You're not
up.
The only one who's done that.
And the problem is if your cat is an indoor outdoor cat,
yeah.
Like her cats, they may have eaten rabbit. So that's not going to be a limited ingredient diet for that cat.
Interesting. You're right. Yes, that's
Although,
a good point.
Although I think it's less likely a cat would be allergic to rabbits, but.
Okay. One more email and then to the phones for the home stretch here. This one's from Gordon. I have an average dog, 2 years old, that has been acting depressed since I let him watch the dog show last week. Any advice?
Put Animal Planet on for him.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, it's so funny. Most of the time, in my experience with cats, they look at the TV blankly. It could be like nothing is on at all. Only once or twice has there been an animal show on with lions or cats where the cat reacted. And it's weird. It's what in their psychology allows them to not figure out that that motion is a pattern?
I don't know. I had a cat that used to chase, you know, like football players up and down the screen when we had like football games on.
Really?
So I think it's motion. I think it's the motion more than anything else. I don't think they recognize what they're seeing.
Get a scholarship?
I mean, dogs barking on the TV definitely set my dog off.
Maybe it's the sound, yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Alvin in Washingtonville. Alvin.
Yes, hi. Thanks for being there for
you
me.
Bet.
I just have a basic universal question that I've been trying to address. It's what is good food? is wet food the best or is it dry food the best?
Four.
My cats have been on dry food.
Okay, four cats.
For 2 years now.
Go ahead.
Yep.
Cats.
So, yes, ideally wet food is ideal because, again, we're talking carbohydrates and cats. Cats are carnivores, and they really, their bodies are not meant to deal with a high carbohydrate diet. And dry food is basically cereal. So most canned food, the highest carbohydrates I've ever seen is in like the 20% range.
Yeah.
And dry food is often 30 to 40% carbohydrate. So canned food is definitely much better than the dry.
All right, Alvin, thanks a lot for the call. Karen in Southfield. Karen, you're on.
Hi there. I have a 19-year-old cat, and a couple years ago we tried to get a base blood work from him, and the vet came to the house and couldn't calm him enough to take the blood, so she gave me something to give to him when she returned with a helper, and he still wasn't calmed enough, so she gave him more. Anyway, she got blood, but he almost died from, she said, a heart problem, and we can never do that again.
Oh.
And he's progressed to have... eat so much every day. He eats so much, and he's so skinny. And I tried taking him back to her a few months ago because now he's a calmer cat than he ever was, and she still couldn't get blood from him, and says that this is the way he wants to be, and she can't give me any medication for him unless she gets blood. Am I doing everything I can for him? He still plays with me. He's still, you know, so happy, but he's skinny, skinny, skinny.
Yep. Is he drinking a lot of water?
Yes.
Okay.
He is.
Because, I mean, one thing that you could try to get at least one thing off, because the main things that are going to make an old cat like him, by the way, congrats that he made it to 19.
Yeah, that's a good run.
Especially if he has any heart issues. So you want to rule out diabetes as one of the things that could be making him get super skinny and eat well and drink a lot. It certainly could be thyroid disease. Less likely to be kidneys because they don't tend to eat really well with kidney disease. So thyroid or diabetes would be my two biggest thoughts. And you can rule out diabetes by looking at his urine. So the one thing you could consider doing is getting, there's a litter you can get. It's called Kit for Cat, or there are several others. I don't know what your vet uses, but we have one called Kit for Cat that's basically, it's like litter, but it doesn't absorb. So you put it in the litter box in place of your regular litter. When the cat urinates, you can just pour the urine off into a container,
uh-huh.
and then your vet can look at it. It's not ideal for looking for infection and things like that because you want a nice fresh urine, but you could certainly tell if there's sugar in it. If there's no sugar in it, you can take diabetes right off the table.
Well, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, that is where we will have to leave it, but that was fun.
Quick.
Yeah, it really was quick, and it was great to have you here. We will see you soon. Have a lovely holiday month.
You too.
And we will talk to you next year.
Yes.
Support comes from Old Kinderhook Auction Company, Art Frames Antiques, and more. Previews online or at their Hudson Valley Gallery. Individual items at estates for consignment or purchase, oldkinderhookauction.com. At the Stagecoach Tavern at Racebrook Lodge, Sheffield, Massachusetts, featuring private dining rooms and open outdoor spaces, rblodge.com for more information. Thanks again to Carrie O'Loughlin for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Tina Rennick came down from her plush office upstairs to screen the phones today. Thank you, Tina. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk home improvement with Darren Tracy, and he wants to focus for a time on helping to make your house more energy efficient this winter, given the energy prices. Not a bad idea. That's tomorrow at 2. Right now, stand by for 51%.